everyone. Welcome back to another episode of On The Mix. I'm your host, Lindsay, and today is a bit of a mystery. So I had no idea who Sue Hannell even was until I started researching a couple of musicians that mysteriously vanished or were a part of some true crime. And I thought her story was really fascinating because there's not a whole lot of information. So anything could really be possible. But also, I think more people need to be talking about it because I've not seen anyone really talk about her story, but a lot of people seem to know about it. It's just not a lot of people really dive deep into it and share a lot of information because let me tell you, I had a very hard time trying to find a lot of solid information about her, and it led me to a couple of dead ends. But I have to give a shout out to NirvanaLegacy.com because they have compiled the most extensive amount of information on Sue Hannell and her time with the New York no wave band called Swans. And I'm just going to jump right into it because it's really fascinating. So who are the Swans? What are they all about? So the Swans, they're an American experimental rock band that formed in 1982. And there was kind of like a small indie scene in New York at this time in the 80s, where of course new wave was really popular in the 80s, but they went a different route and they called it no wave, where essentially it was very experimental. They blended genres together such as noise rock, post-punk, industrial, post-rock, and a lot of other kind of punk rock elements into their music. So they didn't keep with the time of the new wave stuff like Duran Duran and Depeche Mode and The Cure, but they stayed very punk of the 70s. That's kind of what they were all about. So throughout their time, they actually had a lot of varying members, and they ended up dissolving in 1997 until they reformed in 2010. And they had a pretty consistent lineup of musicians which toured worldwide. And since then, they released 4 albums since their reformation. Their latest album, The Beggar, will actually be released on June 23rd of this year coming up. So, hey, this is actually just in time if you want to learn more about Sue Hannell and the Swans and you're interested to hear this album. I probably will listen to this album, to be fair. But there isn't, again, a whole lot of information to really sink your teeth into who Sue Hannell is, but I find it very interesting about mysteries and where these people just up and vanished to and what could have happened to them. Because there could be a possible resolution to this story, but it's still up in the air because most people either believe the ending or they don't believe the ending. So that'll be up to you guys to decide if you believe it or not. But I'm going to just give you the basic information that I have. There's no information about like when she was born, really where she grew up, who her parents are, if she was an only child, you know, anything like that. It mostly is only known information from when she was with the Swans, and she wasn't with the Swans for that long period of a time. So to start it off here, the earliest known lineup of the Swans comprised of Michael Gira on bass and vocals, Jonathan Cain on drums, Sue Hannell on guitar, Mojo on percussion and tape loops, and then there's Thurston Moore, Dan Braun, and Jonathan Tesler on the second bass guitar. So there were a lot of people in this band. And then like I said, throughout the year, sporadically, they would really change the lineup constantly. But Michael, who is the vocalist and bass guitarist, he was and still is the primary member of the group from foundation until reformation later. So again, they formed in 1982. After a few frustrating months of auditioning for potential members, Michael and Jonathan ended up bringing on Sue Hannell. And the thing about Sue Hannell that apparently is very well known is that she was a very, very eclectic, very interesting guitarist of which no one had ever heard before. Jonathan Cain stated that, quote, "Sue was the most fearsome guitarist we'd ever heard in New York. She was unbelievable," end quote. So again, this is kind of like very noise rock, post-punk, industrial type of music that we're thinking about here. So Sue Hannell, her guitaring, you can imagine, was very erratic. It sounded very crazy, almost like noisy, nothing you'd ever heard before. So she was actually The funny thing about this, actually, from what I can recall, they were good friends with some of the founding members of Sonic Youth. And Sonic Youth has that same quality where the guitar is very fuzzy. It's very noisy. And, you know, there's a lot of amplification there to kind of drum up the noise and the fuzz. And that's basically kind of what Sue Hannell was all about. But she kind of, Sue Hannell, again, from my understanding, she is known to be one of like the founding guitarists in New York City at this time to kind of create and come up with that kind of specific sound, rock music for this kind of genre, which is really crazy to me because she really wasn't even around for that long. And then she disappeared not long after. And it's crazy because most people, again, don't know about this story, but she should be known anyway. Sue Hannell was on a couple of key recordings with the group, but a lot of them are on a compilation album called Body to Body, Job to Job. And we don't have a lot of recordings that we can actively listen to because not a lot are uploaded. Or again, like because of ambiguous credits on a lot of their albums and compilation albums, it's not known specifically which songs in particular she was featured on for this compilation and a couple of other singles that they released and, you know, on some other of their, you know, albums and things. So it's very up in the air. And again, a lot of people just don't know a lot of concrete information. So it's hard to come through here with a lot of solid leads, but I'm providing you with the information that I possibly can. So there's recordings out there, but there's just not a whole lot out there to listen to that have survived. And also wherein people have uploaded them onto YouTube or SoundCloud or where else would they be uploaded to? I don't know if they're on Spotify or Apple Music. I would imagine that they are, but I don't know if that early of their work would be on Spotify and things. Probably, but who knows? So after several months of rehearsals with the band, she took the stage with the Swans at their first gig sometime in the early summer of 1982. She would perform with the Swans for the next 6 to 8 months, including the 10 dates of the Savage Blunder Tour with Sonic Youth in November, December of 82. And then she departed after a final show at The Kitchen on December 27th, 1982. So she was really only in the band for a couple of months, and then she fell out and they got another guitarist there. And she was replaced by guitarist Bob Pizzola. So this was at the time of recording their debut album, which is why it's really hard to actually find concrete recordings of her because she wasn't really featured on a lot of their music that would be recorded like this. She only really, I believe, again, to my understanding with the information that's out there and known, she was only really like out there to perform with them on stage at their gigs, right? Because that's what they were trying to do. You don't just land a recording contract and record your album at the gate. You have to go and put the work in to perform at gigs for a few weeks and months, you know. They were with Sonic Youth, which helped them a lot to kind of boost their cred, because Sonic Youth was very popular at this time. So it's just kind of one of those things where, unfortunately, we don't have a lot of concrete pieces to sink our teeth into to listen back to with her. But a lot of people have said, yet again, she is an incredibly gifted guitarist. And Michael has this to say about Sue. There was an incredibly gifted, though also unstable and unpredictable, guitarist by the name of Sue Hannell who created a tremendous wailing sound, but the problem was she could never replicate what she did from one night to the next. She was a very nice person, kind of troubled, but very down to earth. It just didn't work out artistically because she just wasn't interested in repeating anything. Her sound would be different, her chords would be different, we could never pin it down. But when she hit the sweet spot, it was tremendous. So essentially, that was maybe the biggest problem when it came to recording the debut album, because of course, the whole point is to have songs in your repertoire, and you have the same kind of chords, and you have a very structured way of doing things, and Sue just didn't want to be the kind of guitarist to just go out on stage and repeat chord after chord after chord. She wanted to be untethered like that. She wanted to be free like that. So it's interesting that you could hear a lot of different kind of chords and bars from her and riffs from her that would be different from night to night. So if you saw her on one night, it'd be different to how you would see her on another night. because she would do all these crazy monumental like things with her guitar. So that's why it didn't work out. And that kind of makes sense, you know. So again, she only lasted for a couple of months, but she made a lasting impact on the band and in the New York no wave type of scene as a whole. Ivan Naheem, I'm so horrible with pronunciations of names, forgive me, but he was in the Swans as well. And he had this to say about her, quote, "Sue Hannell blew me away. What a beast. Her energy reminded me a lot of Patti Smith at her most intense," end quote. Thurston Moore of the band also had this to say about her, quote, "Sue is a legend to all of us who were part of that scene. She was the young lesbian girl who played the most incredible loud playing guitar. It's such a great mystery how she vanished," end quote. So that's where we get into this whole mystery of who Sue Hannell is. All we know about her is that she was with the band for a couple of months and then she disappeared. No one heard from her again. No one really knew anything about her. The only things that we know concrete about her was her sexuality, that she liked women, that she was into doing drugs, and she was a bit of an unpredictable kind of character, but she had a lot of heart and soul. She was down to earth. She was a nice person. So she had her troubled areas there in her life, but despite her troubled upbringing and her past and things like that, she remained a very kind of positive, cool, easygoing kind of person. So a lot of people, again, they don't know anything about her background, but there's one friend of hers, Bob Burt, that was in the music scene. He had this to say about her, quote, "My wife," she wasn't my wife then, "she had this job as a photo retoucher, and there was this girl that arrived from the Midwest, all wide-eyed and kind of preppy looking. Her name was Sue Hannell. She said she was playing with this band, the Swans. So I went to those two shows, and holy shit, she was." So all that we can really derive from that was that she was from the Midwest. I mean, this was of the time, too, like, where I guess if you were a runaway or if you didn't really have a strong home base that you would just wander from place to place, perhaps you would make up a name or a new identity or say anything about yourself that could be true or not true. And this is the thing where we can't pin down if Sue Hannell was actually her name, if it was just a fake name she adopted, if she was genuinely from the Midwest or not. It's very hard to know, but that's just what adds to the mystery. And because this is all that we know, all of recanting from her friends and contemporaries that knew of her, and, you know, heard her speak about who she was and things like that, you know, that's all we have to go by. But, you know, unfortunately, there's just not a whole lot to look into here. But Sue Hannell performed as part of the band called New Detroit Incorporated, which was a band of former natives from the Detroit area. So this is where she was featured on kind of like a compilation type album. So people are thinking like, oh, could she maybe be from Detroit? Like, is that maybe where she's from? Because if she was part of this New Detroit Incorporated band, then could she have been from Detroit? And so that's just like another pin that people think that she's a part of. So with this band here, she was featured on this song that they did called Brown Dub. And the song is dated from August the 1st, 1984. And that's her last formal recording that we have. And that's it. Not a whole lot was done there. That was essentially it. But there's a very, very important anecdote that, again, her music friend Bob Burt had to say about her, wherein the last time he saw her and, you know, the kind of person that she was. So this is very telling. He says this, quote, "In 1986 or 1987, I had this side project called Bewitched and got asked to play a benefit show for a fanzine. So I asked Sue Hannell if she would do it. We got together to rehearse. I was doing something on drums and she was just going nuts on guitar. Then she invited me over to her place on 2nd Avenue in New York. She'd been living there 7 or 8 years and I've never seen anything so bizarre. She had not a stick of furniture, no bedding, nothing. There was one folding metal chair, a boombox, and a poster of Motorhead on the wall. Otherwise, it was barren. I asked her, Sue, where do you sleep? And she opened a closet and showed me a sleeping bag. Even when we did a gig, I have no idea what drugs she was into, but she was drinking cough syrup. She got really skinny. She only ever wore black pants and a black cutoff t-shirt, black makeup circles under her eyes, and she was a bike messenger, so I'd see her hanging around the streets at 100 miles an hour. Then all of a sudden, she disappeared, and no one ever heard another word about her. So that gives us a lot of insight right there. So she has been living in that New York apartment at that time in 86 or 87 for 7 or 8 years. So again, she came to New York possibly in the very early 80s before the Swans ever took off in 1982. So we can assume that maybe she got to New York in 1980, let's just say 1980, just to keep it kind of like even keeled. It could be even 79, 78, around that time period. But, you know, she had to have come from somewhere, right? So again, her friend Bob here claims that she was from the Midwest. That's what she told him. So the Midwest, you know, could be anything like there. Could Detroit be where she's from? We don't know, again, anything about how old she was or anything. People claim that she looked kind of young at this time. So maybe early 20s or mid 20s. Nothing maybe older than that. So by that account, perhaps she was born in the 60s. You know, it's just very, we don't know. We just don't even know. Because again, I think people who were from this certain time period who wanted to run away from their problems, or they just had a very wanderlust type of soul and they just wanted to get out and wander around and, you know, take on a new identity, come up with a new name, new backstory, you know, whatever, that's possibly what could have happened here. I'm not sure that that's the thing, anything in this mystery could truly be the case. And we just have no idea to confirm or deny, because no one from her family has claimed like, hey, Sue is missing or whoever. I mean, that's the thing. She could easily be a Jane Doe and we just have no idea, you know. And that's the thing, where a lot of this kind of is just very up in the air. And we just don't know, you know, what really happened here. But the last bit of information I have on Sue before her disappearance and the last time that we would see her comes from her friends. And again, I apologize for the pronunciation of the names. Her friends, Catherine and Nicholas Cesserol. I hope I said that correctly. Catherine and Nicholas, these are two friends of hers. And they say that, quote, Sue Hannell was a crazy guitarist, but a very nice girl too. She was also doing paintings, and I still have one from her. Then she disappeared. The last time we saw her was in New York City in 89-90. She got really sick and went to the hospital. Then she got even sicker because they gave her good food and she was used to eating junk, end quote. So clearly, she did not have a whole lot of money to support herself. The living conditions in which she was living, I guess she didn't even have money to get a bed secondhand or a couch at all. Like, she slept in the closet on a sleeping bag. That was probably all that she brought with her, and she didn't have money to afford anything. Who knows, maybe she got into music so she could afford to pay for some things, you know. But no one really knows anything else about her aside from that. So she got sick and went to the hospital for some reason. Again, you know, she was drinking cough syrup and she was into drugs and things like that. So, you know, it could have been a relapse situation. It could have just been she wasn't eating, so she just got sick. I mean, again, all these details we just aren't privy to, really. But from what we know from what her friends spoke of her, they say, again, that she was a nice girl, but she just, I think, got mixed up in a lot of wrong things. And, you know, she did things to herself that wouldn't really be the best for her, again, like not really eating right or, you know, again, hey, she probably didn't have money to eat decently. So she only ate what she could eat. And that's fair enough, you know. But it kind of makes me sad that no one really tried to help her, it seems like. They just were aware of these living conditions she was in, and no one really tried to help her from what I could see. But that's all the information that we have about her. So she just ended up disappearing at the end of the 80s, very early 90s into the decade, and that's it. We have no other information. She's been missing for decades. No one has heard from her or anything like that. So some of the theories that people have suggested that could probably make sense is that she either passed away to a drug overdose or she died, you know, not long after someone last saw her and she died in the 90s. Another thing was she just up and vanished and disappeared and she's living a new life somewhere else. I don't know how realistic that option is, to be fair, but that could, I suppose, be the case, you know. Another instance here is there was a story that came out 2 years ago at the end of the year, December the 29th, of this 72-year-old woman named Sue Hannell, who was a part of a hit-and-run situation in Columbia, Michigan. So I just would like to read to you the story, essentially. It's not a long story. It's very simple. But let me read to you the article, and we'll talk about it after. A woman has pleaded not guilty in connection to a deadly November 30th hit and run. Susan Hannell, 72, had a formal arrangement waived and entered the plea Tuesday, according to online court records. She is charged with first-degree involuntary manslaughter, driving while impaired resulting in death, leaving the scene of an accident resulting in death, and armed criminal action. Hannell was driving north on Providence Road and entered the center turn lane on East Sexton Road. Skylar Maddox, 25, was driving a motorcycle south on Providence Road when Hannell failed to yield while making a left turn and entered into Maddox's path. Maddox was thrown from his motorcycle after impact. He was later pronounced dead at the hospital. Hannell did not stop after the crash. Officers later arrested her at her home. According to court records, Hannell told officers she was taking methadone and Valium. She told officers she did not realize she was involved in a crash. The documents also noted Hannell's driver's license expired in 2011. Hannell remains in Boone County Jail custody without bond. So that's essentially the story. Some people online on like Reddit and things have claimed that this could possibly be her because there's a picture, a mugshot. You know, this woman clearly is definitely a longtime drug user. You can definitely tell. And it makes sense why she was involved in this hit and run because she clearly was very high and she was very impaired. And that's extremely dangerous that she would even be out on the road with a very expired driver's license and behind the wheel while high on meth and Valium, painkillers. So that's really interesting. Again, this is in Michigan as well. So that would therefore imply that this, if this was indeed the same Sue Hannell, this would imply that she had left New York at some point and moved to Michigan, you know, which, you know, people claim that she was from Detroit. So could that make sense? Did she go back home? You know, who knows, really? I'm not sure how far Columbia is from Detroit. I'm not entirely sure. But I mean, I don't think that's maybe out of the realm of possibility. Also, as of 2021, this Susan Hannell in this article was 72, which if I do the math real quick, in the 80s, that would have made her about 30s or late 20s, which some people have claimed that that would have been too old for the actual Sue Hannell we're talking about here, because some people really believe that Sue Hannell was like very young, like early mid 20s. And to be fair, Susan Hannell had a very like baby face, youthful type of appearance. So she could have been later 20s or early 30s and just looked like she was like 22 or something. Plus, due to all of her drugs and how, you know, frail she looked, it would also make sense that maybe people could have mistaken her age, because I don't think anyone knows exactly how old she was. People are just guesstimating based on her appearance. So this is probably the most concrete piece of possible evidence that we have to corroborate maybe that this is the same person. I'm not sure how popular the name Susan Hannell is, but I would imagine this could be definitely the same Susan that we're looking at here. But to be honest, that's all that we've got. So the mystery still is very much so open because people are not convinced fully that this is the same Susan Hannell. One of the members of Sonic Youth has come out to say that he does believe this is the same Susan Hannell. And it's like he would know, I would say, because he was friends with her from the past. So I would imagine that he'd probably be like, oh, yeah, that's Sue. That's Susan. So sure, that could make sense for sure. I don't know. I mean, there's just not a whole lot that we can really go off of here. Either Susan Hannell, the real Susan Hannell from the Swans, she either died at some point on this whole mystery here these past decades, whether it was after, soon after she disappeared, or much later on due to her drug habits and whatever else, or she just vanished and she was never seen from again, or this Susan Hannell is the same Susan Hannell. And I'd probably say that this could be a very good a very good theory, and it could make sense, but we just don't have enough details to kind of like fully Venn diagram this all out and really figure it out. So I thought I'd add that in there because fans of Sue Hannell and the Swans really do believe that this could be the same person. And we just don't really know 100%. I mean, unfortunately, if this is the same Susan Hannell, you know, the last that I heard from this article, she was, you know, held in Boone County Jail without bond. So, I mean, you know, hit and run. She's involved in manslaughter, driving while under the influence, resulting in death, leaving the scene of an accident. You know, I mean, those are very heavy charges. And so I would imagine, just kind of based on common sense, that she probably got some jail time and she's probably in jail, this Susan Hannell. I would imagine. Like, she killed a person while she was high, while driving with a very expired license. So regardless of how old she is at 72, you killed somebody, whether you knew that you did or not, whether you were high or not, you killed somebody. So no doubt about it, this Susan Hannell that is in this article most likely probably is in jail, or something happened. We don't know. But that kind of is the very open-ended mystery of guitarist Sue Hannell. What do you guys think? I'm really curious to know if you guys believe that this could be the Susan Hannell that we're looking for, or if, you know, because of her junkie habits, she died much earlier than that, or whatever. I mean, if this is the same Susan Hannell, she lived to be 72 and then some. You know, this was only 2 years ago, so she would have been 74 at this point. Again, if this is the same Susan, so that's pretty good considering that, you know, she, you know, didn't eat that well of food quality wise, and she was drinking cough syrup all the time and other various kinds of drugs. Like, this report again says meth and Valium, so it makes sense there. But what do you guys think? I'm really, really, really curious to know. Again, I have to give a shout out to NirvanaLegacy.com because they really are the only source, credible source, that has a lot of information on Sue Hannell. There's no Wikipedia on her. There's no other kind of biography on her. I know that there's a book that was written about the Swans and their career. I cannot for the life of me remember off the top of my head. But I believe Michael, the singer, I believe he wrote the book. Again, I don't want to spread misinformation, but I believe that's my recollection. And there's some chapters about Sue Hannell. And of course, all the information that I provided came from that book as well, based on what I was reading. So that's all that we genuinely have. The only people that know her and can speak about her and who she was as a person were her bandmates and her other music friends that she had, which weren't a lot. And a lot of people have not come forward to really say anything else. So this is all that we've got to work with here. So I suppose if anything else comes to light, maybe down the road or not, if there's an update sometime later, perhaps I'll give, you know, an update or something on my Instagram or something like that. But that's about it really for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening and tuning in. I hope you guys learned something today that you hadn't known about before. Again, if you would like to follow me on Instagram, that's where you'll get all the updates about the podcast in real time. That's On The Mix Podcast on Instagram. Yes, thank you guys very much for listening. Hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I will see you guys next Wednesday for another episode of On The Mix. Talk to you guys later. Bye, guys.